My name is Amy. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from neglect and shame. I grew up in a small town in Texas. My dad was always the life of the party, and he treated me like I was the apple of his eye in public. But at home, the message I got was quite the opposite. He was a functioning alcoholic, fine during the day, not so good at night. My mother was the opposite, withdrawn and quiet. She was handicapped and diagnosed with MS when I was born and became addicted to Valium and painkillers as well as alcohol. My older brother would eventually become addicted to heroin, and I would become addicted to people and their approval. My mom was often in too much pain or too messed up to care for us. And because of the pain meds, she slept all day. Our roles were reversed. As little kids, we had to care for her, but there was no one to care for us. There were people who came in to clean our house, but there was no one to be our mom. My dad was gone a lot, but when he was home, we weren't allowed to bother him while he read or watched TV. Our home was often filled with yelling and fighting, along with verbal, emotional, and physical abuse. It wasn't safe to cry in our home, so I learned to stuff my emotions. During our elementary years, my parents sent my brother away to a boys' home, where he would later begin doing drugs. From then on, I was pretty much an only child, as he seldom lived with us again. My parents never played with me, and there was very little communication. I ate alone, got ready for school alone, played alone, and I watched TV alone. I would stand on a chair to reach the toaster or the stove, and I went to doctor appointments with strangers. When I was old enough, I started playing sports, but no one ever came to my games. I didn't think I mattered to anyone. I just wanted someone to love me and care about me. In fifth grade, my friends and I began smoking and drinking. I stole cigarettes and liquor from my parents. In seventh grade, the smoking turned to drugs. But by that time, my brother was addicted to heroin and in a state facility. I was terrified of drugs because of the things I had witnessed. My brother was continually arrested, overdosing, in fights, or motorcycle accidents. So I would get drunk while my friends got high. I just wanted an escape. When we went to see my brother in prison, I would lie to the school and friends where we were going. In middle school, I was the skinniest and was made fun of and spit on continually. I thought God had messed up when he made me. This confirmed the lie that I didn't have value. My parents told me they wanted me to go to camp, but I didn't want to go. Knowing I loved horses, they lied and told me I would be an assistant to the wrangler, so I went. But at camp, I was not a wrangler, but a camper like the rest. And at camp, they told me that God loved me and wanted a relationship with me. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe anyone loved me. But I wanted what I saw in my counselors, and I prayed a simple prayer for Jesus to come into my life. I stayed at camp for a month and did not want to go home. Unfortunately, after camp, I continued drinking even harder. I drank till I passed out. I wanted to escape the pain and the loneliness. I had a filthy tongue, and I was involved in inappropriate relationships. During high school, we were in a tornado that killed several people on our street. It was like we were bombed. My dad and I found a friend of ours that was killed. That experience was traumatic for me, but I never talked about it with anyone. I found out I had a half-brother when he moved in and lived with us for 2 years. He got in an argument with my dad and estranged himself from the family. We never saw him or talked to him about him again. Later, my other brother committed suicide. I saw him afterwards before he died, but I never processed what I saw with anyone. That moment would haunt me the rest of my life. We never talked about him again either. Later, as an adult, my mom began pushing me away and continually no-showed me when she came to Dallas. When she was dying, I sat in her hospital room, but she wouldn't speak to me. I was numb. I had been rejected by her my entire life. When she died, I felt guilty that I couldn't cry. All I thought was, I never knew this person. After she died, we never talked about her again either. This is how we coped. When I showed up at Regen, I was happily married and had a wonderful family. From the outside looking in, I think others would have told you I was doing great. I led in women's Bible study and other ministries, and we were all very involved here at Watermark. But I came to Regen desperate for healing. I couldn't wait to get here every week. I wanted healing more than I wanted anything. I'd built walls of self-protection and had no idea who I really was. When friends asked simple questions about my childhood, my heart would start racing and I would panic on the inside because I was so ashamed. Also, my fear of rejection, my fear of failure, and fear of others' perception of me was consuming me. I was terrified of being vulnerable. Every week at Regen, I was flooded with emotions, and yet I couldn't cry. Years of stuffed emotions left me paralyzed, and I had a mountain of hurts to unearth. I'm an example that time doesn't make wounds go away. John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But I first needed to recognize the lies that were holding me captive. As I began to grieve my past, it was like opening up a box of grasshoppers. All my emotions were just going all over the place, and I was scared of my emotions and found myself wanting to cram them back in the box. But being in a safe place weekly where it was normative to share hurts and struggles was life-changing for me. The Lord showed me that being strong and self-reliant was an idol for me. I had believed the lie that I could not have value or be loved if I shared emotion or was weak. I also discovered that my views of God were twisted as I still saw him through the lens of my parents. God also showed me my unbelief, not that he existed, but that he loved me. I could tell others all day long how much Jesus loved them, but I didn't believe it for myself. I had a faith and I spent time in the Word every day, but I still saw God as the CEO of creation, distant and uncaring. I was putting on pressure on myself to become more godly, but that's not how God works. Psalm 23:2 says, "He leads me beside still waters." God wants to restore my soul, not wear it out. I was so full of pride and shame. Guilt says I've done something bad, but shame says I am bad. The Lord has been faithful to help me shed the layers of pride as they were deep. Regen is hard, but it's worth it. It's like cleaning out the garage. It's ugly and a big mess before you put it back together again. When I started Regen, I began having nightmares and flashbacks, and I felt depressed at times. Opening up was hard. I was so ashamed of my story and ashamed of myself. But the more I shared, the more I saw pride and shame losing its grip on me. If this is your first time here, know that God wants to bring order to your chaos. He wants to love you. As I look back, I see God's fingerprints all over my life. I see how he was continually pursuing me. I praise God as the shame, the nightmares, and the flashbacks have begun to fade away. I actually get excited now when I can share my story in God's grace with others. It's now his story. I was living for my own glory, but now I want to live to glorify him. It's amazing that God has taken the very thing that I wanted to bury and resurrected it into the thing I now want to use and be part of for his glory. I'm still growing and learning how to grieve my past and how to be secure in who I am. But I'm thankful I have a God who's a good father, who loves me and is patient with me. Psalm 41:3 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. and he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Praise be to God for rescuing me. My name is Amy, and I'm recovering from neglect and shame. Thank you.